Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning and welcome in. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, hanging out with you until 2 o'clock on this Wednesday morning. Danny, how are you?
Buddy, very cool, calm, casual type couple of days here. Coming back down from riding on a bus at a Washington Nationals World Series parade float. Just weird. Yesterday I went to Giant, right? It's a supermarket of note. My 20-month-old having a giant meltdown while we're like trying to find low-carb tortilla wraps. My oldest asking, like begging me for Frosted Flakes, and then like we had to find a certain kind of Lunchable. And I'm going, this is the opposite of riding on a parade bus, receiving beers from willing strangers. One of these is not like the other. One is a regular, boring life thing. The other is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that I'll never forget. One is perfect. The other sucks.
Yeah, you don't
guess
get
which
to
is which.
Ride on the top of parades and go down Constitution Avenue every single day.
I'm not saying I need to do it again today or tomorrow even, but maybe like next week. Can we do like next Thursday where we just do a parade real quick?
Would be nice.
Just so different, man.
Nats sorting out all kinds of future decisions with their roster as they get into the offseason now. Of course, the Redskins have a bye week. There was a report yesterday that Bill Callahan has full roster control in a way that Jay Gruden never did. We'll get into that at the bottom of the hour. The Caps have had a little hiatus here. Thank goodness. Maybe they needed it after partying all night with the Nationals deep into the evening on Sunday night. They don't play till Thursday. Of course, the Wizards just getting started in their season. I've actually been a little bit impressed with them. I know they don't have a great record. I have very low expectations for them, but they play hard, and their young guys have been fun to watch. So not too shabby a time for DC sports right now, and the Redskins can't ruin it on Sunday by losing handily. They will get a chance to win their next game. They play the Jets.
I love the bye week so much, by the way.
Bye week's the best.
I love the bye week as a Redskins fan. I don't know that every team does. Like, if your team is rolling, you're going, ah, damn it, I don't want to wait.
If you're the Patriots fan who's watched all those Super Bowls and has all your New England gear, which, by the way, you couldn't swing a bag of Cheetos at Wegmans without hitting a Patriots fan on Sunday.
Mm.
After church, I go over to Wegmans before I go home. And it wasn't a bye week, but the Redskins were playing at 1, and I wanted to continue my terrible eating one final day before I got started on my program.
Of course, yes, of course. Yes.
On Monday. So I went and got a couple of little snackies to watch the game with. Well, there were 1,000 jerseys and sweatshirts and hoodies of all kinds of NFL teams. None of them Redskins gear, by the way. Not one piece of Redskins apparel seen.
I'm sure that's
I saw
good.
Giants. I saw Dolphins who can't win. I saw Bills all over the joint where the Redskins were playing. But seriously, I saw 15 people in Patriots gear. But if you're one of those people, I'd imagine the bye week's not as fun for you, but I still think just to have a day where you get to sit on the couch and not have to deal with your team and get to watch everybody else and basically the perfection that is NFL Red Zone for several hours, I don't know how anyone could not like the bye week.
You know, Redskins, you can't hurt me today. You can't ruin today or tomorrow. I usually carry the loss for an extra day in a normal season, not like one like this where I actually want them to lose and I hate them so much because of what they're doing. But the bye week is so delightful, as you said. It's 8 hours of Red Zone, the most perfect thing ever invented. It's glorious. It is so excellent. I track everything, all my daily fantasy lineups, my regular fantasy lineups, figuring out the cliff notes of what's going on in every NFL game, confirming opinions, forming new ones. Delightful. The league is great.
I have NFL Sunday Ticket. I have DirecTV, so I pay for Sunday Ticket. I find myself, though, thinking maybe I should just not have Sunday Ticket and have Red Zone. I like having all the games at my disposal. You have to basically be your own Scott Hansen, though.
So you want, let's say for the sake of argument, you're intrigued by name a player. I don't know. Like you want to see Jimmy Garoppolo, right?
Correct.
You want to see if he's the truth or not, or if he might hold them back. You can decide, I'm watching the San Francisco game. I'm Grant Paulson, put my scout hat on. That's a nice option to have.
It is.
I'm just telling you, I would always default to red zone.
Well, and I kind of miss red zone. I don't know the specifics, but I think what I can gather is when I have DirecTV, I get the different version of red zone. Like the Scott Hansen red zone,
yeah, they do have
is something
different.
Else. I get Andrew Siciliano red zone, which is not quite as good in my opinion. It's fine. But again, I have Sunday Ticket, so I kind of bounce around to the different games, and I think you lose a little bit with that. When I was a kid, all I wanted in the world, like if you would have come up to me when I was 12 and said, hey, when you're 30, how do I know you've made it? If I said I, you know, own a home and have NFL Red Zone or NFL Sunday Ticket and I have a basement I can sit in and watch NFL Sunday Ticket all day long.
You've arrived.
Like, that's all I need in my life to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, things have gotten more complicated since, and happiness is a little bit more of a search and a quest. Things are a little bit different.
We're all on it, yeah.
But there was a point in my life where all I wanted was to be an adult with facial hair who could watch NFL Sunday Ticket on my own TV in my own basement in my own home.
And if I wanted to open my front door with the AC on and not get lectured, I can do that.
I do that every week.
You know what I mean? Just to let everybody know, I have that luxury now.
I definitely. Right now, this is the time of the year to do it. Every Sunday, the front and back door is open. We're going straight air through the house because we're airing things out.
Love
I
it.
Want to feel that fall. I want to hear the leaves blowing outside. It's a lock. I'm doing that on Sunday.
You don't know what happened 150 years ago today. 150 years ago today.
November 6th.
1869. A significant event occurred for both you and me, I would say.
Significant for us?
For you and me and for fans everywhere. But it's a big deal for us.
150 years ago today.
It got us started on this little journey, kind of what we're talking about now.
I would say that Bruce Allen took over running the Redskins. Did that happen 150 years ago?
The first football game between Princeton and Rutgers
really?
Took place. And it was Rutgers, I believe, last win. 6-4 they won
game. No, they won one game since.
Did they?
Yes. Was the final actually 6-4?
6-4.
So they very much differently scored the game, I suppose?
Yeah, it's a different scoring.
Maybe they did like 1 point per touchdown. I don't think Rutgers has scored that many points in the last 20 years.
Rutgers' last touchdown, 1869.
That's cool, though. 150 years ago?
150 years ago.
Football predating baseball? Is that what we're saying here?
I think so. Just in terms of
Abner
like...
Abner Doubleday? No, I guess not. It was probably comparable, though. I thought football was way newer than that.
Because, it's not in its current form. I mean, they
Correct.
Actually played the game with a soccer ball, and they sort of didn't know what they were doing just yet. It
okay,
was kind of half
not,
rugby.
I'm not ruling that as football.
No, but it was a football game.
Not with a soccer ball, it wasn't.
Yeah.
If they played with a soccer ball, then I'm not ruling it football.
Dude, it's a football game. It's ruled a football game. You can't like undo it.
I'm going to try this again.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, and I get it.
Was there a football there? Did the shape of the ball exist yet?
Technically, yes, it was a football.
But it was a soccer ball.
Did
it have points? Were there points on the soccer ball? The entire point of football is that we use a football.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that wasn't football yet.
I don't know that you get to do that.
I'm not going to change whatever celebration you're trying to have.
I'm not celebrating.
I know you went to Wegmans and got a sheet cake, and you're going home, and you and your sons are going to talk about how this
Dude,
is the birth.
Dude, we're going to Shakey's Pizza after this.
This is the birth of football. I'm just saying for my own magazine, that category, for my own file where I have when sports started, that's not going to make the cut for me. If you played a sport with a soccer ball, then it wasn't football.
I mean, what do you need them to, clap snap? You need them to, like, have motion? What do you need for football?
No. I need the football. I need the ball that we use. The ball changed?
Yeah. I mean, it evolved.
They weren't kicking?
No, they did kick.
Oh, they kicked the soccer ball?
Yeah.
There's probably no goalposts, right? No uprights.
I mean, I wasn't there, so I don't know exactly.
Why weren't you there?
I read a lot about it, and apparently it wasn't that exciting, and they didn't think it was going to catch on. These two schools just played against each other a bunch because they're not that far apart.
Bet you they might have thought it could catch on if they used a football. Football.
Yeah.
So it was modified soccer.
Yeah. More. It was half soccer, half rugby, which is kind of how we got what we got. And thank goodness we got it, by the way.
And you're ruling it football.
I didn't make the rule.
No, but I want to know what Danny Ruggier is doing.
The rule for me is smart people have said the first football game was 150 years ago today. I'm just falling in line with that. Like, I can't. I get your gripe. I'm not angry at your gripe. I have nothing to advocate. I mean, I don't have a strong position on this. I'm basically just reading. I got it from Ross Tucker, who posted it this morning and like did some reading about the game a little bit, and it sounded not that interesting. It's a lot of guys like, you know, blue collar Agnew and I don't know.
Some guy named Red.
Yeah, Blue Eyes Jones, you know, a lot of those kind of guys playing in that game. And I don't even know if it was football or not, but they said 150 years ago first.
You don't know what happened 200 years ago today.
200 today?
Yeah.
November 6th?
Yeah.
In what, 1819?
Yes.
No idea.
First baseball game, but they used a basketball. 200 years ago today.
See what he's doing.
It was the first baseball game.
See what he's doing.
But they had a big orange basketball.
Well, they didn't have basketballs
then. They didn't throw pitches yet. They just kind of rolled it up there.
It was kickball.
And then they swung. Right. Yeah, they swung their leg.
Some guy saws off a chair leg and hit somebody with it. They called it
Ross
baseball.
Tucker told me it was a baseball game, so I'm riding hard with it.
Well, listen, I mean, James Naismith had a volleyball that he made.
Dr. Naismith.
Grant
and Danny on the Fan. Bill Callahan has roster control. The Jay Gruden didn't we have? Are we buying that? Plus, pick one next. Who you keeping? Anthony Rendon or Steven Strasburg? You only get to have one. Who you keeping? We'll get your thoughts at 800-636-1067. We'll give you ours on the Fan. Top of the morning. Welcome in. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. We're on Twitter at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. You want to hit us up that way. If you only get to keep one of Steven Strasburg and Anthony Rendon, who are you keeping? That's the question we are starting with today. A little pick one, either or. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Both are going to be free agents when the market opens if the Nats don't get a deal done ahead of time. There's a much better chance Strasburg stays than Rendon. Strasburg's moved his family here. Strasburg signed a contract to avoid free agency the first time around. He seems to be a little bit different and quirkier in the way of avoiding what lies ahead for Rendon and what Bryce Harper went through, which is a market that might move slowly. But Stras is coming off a career year with 18 wins, a 3.3 ERA. He was the MVP of the World Series, struck out double digits in his only NLCS start, pitched twice in wins. Both were massive against the Dodgers in a five-game division series and was nails out of the pen in the wild card game behind Max Scherzer to give the Nats a chance. Meanwhile, Rendon is up for MVP. He's a finalist. He's the most valuable player for the Nationals, clearly. He hit .319 with a career-best 34 homers and the highest RBI count, 126 in team history. He's coming off a 1,000 OPS. And you'd be leaving your best bat and your biggest superstar. You'd be letting them walk and losing that guy for the second time in as many off-seasons, which seems like a devastating blow. So, Danny, I pose to you, first, who do you think people will care more about walking, Strasburg or Rendon, before
question.
We give you our answers?
It's a great question. I think folks might be more concerned about Rendon leaving, but that's just a hunch. I don't have a great answer for this, honestly, in terms of who the fan base. I think it'll be torn right down the line.
Don't you think Strasburg's postseason made it closer? Because he was the most valuable player of their playoffs. If you had an award in baseball, like we do in the National Hockey League, called the Conn Smythe Award, for the guy that carried you to the cup throughout the playoff run, basically. Evgeny Kuznetsov, probably most deserving, was the best capital in the playoffs the year they won the cup. Ovechkin, who was also exceptional, won based on a little bit of a lifetime achievement award, in my opinion. But it's a great award that they give out. If you gave that out for the Nats, I know pitching isn't quite as valuable as hitting. I'm not sure if Rendon wins that. He was particularly amazing in the World Series with home runs in Game 6 and Game 7. But Juan Soto had every bit as many big hits. You know, Adam Eaton had some huge moments and contributions at the top of the order.
Howie Kendrick
won the League Championship Series MVP with a homer, then the game-winning home run in the World Series. He might have been the guy. I think you kind of divvy it up. But Strasburg, every time he pitched, if he didn't win, they were either getting eliminated or they were going to be on the verge of being eliminated and they were basically done.
He was nails.
And they never lost when he threw.
And so the reason I default to Rendon, and tell me what you think of this, remember how the entire tenor of this year was set up, right? Remember the conversations we had a year ago at this point. do you want to sign Bryce Harper or not? Right? And I go, yes. Here's why. There's no guarantee you can sign Anthony Rendon. But the rhetoric was, well, if they don't sign Harper, they'll just sign Rendon. And to not be able to fulfill that promise, I think, is that extra of a letdown.
Yeah, if you're
I still
a fan,
think we're framed that way, right?
You probably say, wait a second, guys. You told me to not get too crazy when you didn't make a fair offer to Bryce Harper because you were going to save that money for the next group. And now if you say, well, we're not going to sign Rendon, but don't worry, we'll sign Trey Turner and Juan Soto, why should I believe you?
Right.
Now, Trey Turner is not represented by Scott Boras, which makes me think he'll be easier to sign. Juan Soto is, and at this point looks ticketed for the first $500 million contract in the history of sports, the way his career has begun, with him already having been a Rookie of the Year candidate and a World Series commodity in the first two seasons of a tremendous stretch. I believe Nats fans want Anthony Rendon back more than they do Strasburg. I think he became, going into the year, the face of the franchise. But I will say I saw a shift at some point, particularly with young people at Nats Park, and this may work in the Nationals' favor a little bit. The development of Juan Soto and the stardom he reached this year is really going to cushion the blow if and when Rendon leaves, don't you think? Like, when you're at the ballpark and you see these kids on the big screen talking to Mike Ploeger or whoever's doing the interviews between innings,
right?
They're asking, who's your favorite Nat? And most of the kids now say Juan Soto. The way he plays the game, the style, the panache, the swagger, some of the Soto shuffle and the bouncing around the batter's box. I'm not saying that this isn't still going to be a catastrophic setback. I think from a wins and losses standpoint, it'll be a crippler. You're not making the playoffs next year if you lose both of these guys. I think it's going to be hard to make the playoffs if you lose Rendon. I just think from a fan base standpoint, I thought they had no wiggle room. You and I said this at the beginning of the year. We were talking at the All-Star break.
You're going, you've got to do this.
How could you not?
You
have to. The way that this Soto love fest has gone, I think they can now just kind of point to the next thing, which is, hey, sorry, but look at this guy. Here's Juan Soto.
Right.
He's on every poster.
And you win the World Series and engenders goodwill. It's one of those things where you go, I'm like, I'll miss Rendon, but God, do what you want. I'm so happy you gave me this gift. Now, if they'd gotten bounced in the first round and then didn't sign Rendon, I'd be like, are you kidding me with all this? What's the point of this exercise? But my sense is it's Rendon, but I think it's like a 53-47 kind of thing is where people would lean. And speaking of things that are close, by the way, you start accumulating, trying to figure out what's more valuable. This is always the great debate, right? What's more valuable, a starting pitcher that pitches once every 5 days but is great when he does, or a position player that's in the lineup, gets your four ABs, and gets his defensive chances? They are ridiculously close in WAR over the last or over the years where Rendon has played and Strasburg has played. 27.3 to 27.1. How remarkable is that? Just given it. Now, there are ups and downs in those years where Strasburg is out sometimes. Rendon has missed a bunch of time. Rendon's high in terms of WAR is higher than Strasburg's highs. But when you add up, again, all the starts and over the years, it's really close, which is pretty amazing to me.
I think it should be Anthony Rendon. I don't even think it's that close. I know that pitching is king for this organization and Mike Rizzo's philosophy and paradigm, and it's why he just won a championship, is starting pitching above all else. Anthony Rendon is a special, unique game changer at a position where there aren't that many great players anymore at third base. The drop-off from him to whoever starts at third next year will be massive. You didn't have to worry about that when Bryce walked out the door because you had Robles to play center and Soto to play left and Eaton to play right and Michael Taylor as a fourth outfielder. You were still, even before Gerardo Parra came in here and you made a couple transactions to strengthen your outfield, one of the top 10 to 12 outfields in baseball, I thought. Your third base position next year, you've got nobody coming. Maybe Carter Kieboom by midway through the year takes over and he'll be up and down as most rookies are. Not everybody's Juan Soto. There's going to be some strikeouts, long swings, weeks where he's not hitting for any average, miscues in the field. I don't even know if he's the plan. I'm just saying that's the only guy in the organization that could be.
Right.
Maybe you go out and you sign some jag. You sign a guy who's bounced around team to team for a bunch of years at third base. So for me, the answer is Rendon. But curious to see what you guys think. They just won a World Series with pitching. You saw what Steven Strasburg did in Game 2 against the Dodgers, in Game 5 against the Dodgers. out of the bullpen against the Brewers, against the Cardinals in the LCS, beating Verlander twice in the World Series to go up 2-0 and then eventually force a Game 7. You get to keep one, Strasburg or Rendon. Who you taking? The Nationals are still soaking up the champagne and enjoying their World Series championship, and so are we on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. We're going to have a copy of Fight Finished, the official World Series championship commemorative book, for you on the show today in the 1 o'clock hour, so listen for some details on how you can win that. It's pretty cool. Also, we've got a promo code for you, all of our listeners who want to get their hands on that book for cheaper than it costs. Make sure you're locked in. Right now, we're talking about the two primary players that could leave, though. Steven Strasburg on the hill, Anthony Rendon at the hot corner. You get to pick one to bring back. Who and why? 800-636-1067. Couple of quick numbers for you. 31, Strasburg's age. 29, Rendon's age. Strasburg, of course, was your World Series MVP, was probably your postseason MVP. Rendon, in his own right, had a bunch of big swings. You don't win that World Series without him, not even close. You don't make the playoffs without him. He was the most vital member of the organization start to finish all year long. And it seems like he's just coming into his own, Danny. Unlike pitching, where it's rare that you see guys like Verlander and Scherzer at the end of their career doing what they're doing.
Right.
Strasburg at 31 is kind of reaching what you would consider to be the last three, maybe four. But with his injury history and some arm and shoulder issues in the past, I would say maybe 3 years left of whatever he is. Rendon at 29 probably has another 4, 5, 6 seasons the way some of the position players trend. Neither has been durable, though. Rendon,
no, true. Yeah, very true.
Misses time every single year. This year he played in
146.
About all but 16 games. Last year it was 136. But he hasn't played what I'd consider to be a full season since 2016. He's done it twice in his entire career, which spans 7 years. 5 times he's missed time on the shelf.
So for me, it's Rendon, and it sounds like I'm knocking Steven Strasburg. I'm not. But to me, it's Rendon. It's not close. We need to remember the guys like Adrian Peterson, guys like Max Scherzer, are freaks of nature. God reached down and said, no, rules don't apply to you. Guys that are of that age with that mileage in terms of pitching don't do this, what Max Scherzer has done. And even he started to break down a little bit in terms of injury, despite all the work he's put in. I just kind of don't do this by default with pitchers. Now, I can make exceptions, certainly, right? But if you're talking about the same kind of a deal 5, 6, 7 years from now, where Steven Strasburg's 37, 38 years old, I don't want to be holding the bag for that. And there's nothing wrong with Steven Strasburg right now. He worked harder than he ever has, got himself into great shape, but Father Time's undefeated, and this pitching mechanism, it breaks down. Anthony Rendon, I know, has been hurt a bunch, but I also know that this is what he is when he's right.
By
he's
the way,
this.
Though, I know you're saying Scherzer's different, and you're right, but just for the record, everyone's talking about Strasburg. Like, you can't give him a big contract. The Nats signed Max Scherzer to 7-210 at Strasburg's age. Think about that.
It's crazy.
Which, looking back, I remember at the time thinking, oh, this is incredible. I'm so happy they did this.
But we're going, okay, the last few years of this deal, it might be, you
sure,
know.
Sure, sure. But my point was, at the time, 7-210, I thought, wow, this is a no-brainer. That was anything but a no-brainer. In fact, Rizzo still brings up that they got dragged nationally by a lot of people for signing Scherzer to that contract. But we've seen it. You know, Verlander just got a massive contract. Now, to your point, those guys are the exceptions. They are certainly not the rule. On Twitter, Jess says, Rendon only because he can play every day, has less of an injury history. Love both. Adam says, voted Rendon, but I very much want both back. Yeah, that's why this is tough. That's not what we're asking.
Yeah, the whole point is this is a hard exercise.
Scott went Rendon because it seems more options to replace starting pitching, but a tough call. To me, that's a big part of this. I can piece together starting pitching. Not at the Strasburg level, although there are some really good arms available. There aren't that many good third basemen available. But you look at what like Anibal Sanchez did for you this year at $9 million. And you look at what you've got, just as an example, over the years with Tanner Roark as a middle-of-the-rotation starter. When you have a guy like Strasburg, you want to keep that guy. What you can't just fake, what you can't mix some potions and figure out on the fly is, I want a third baseman to have a 1,000 OPS for 146 games. Good luck with
that.
Good
luck finding that.
That doesn't really exist. So for me, it is Rendon. I think it's paramount. Like everyone else, clearly you'd like to have both of these guys back. That's not how this is going to work, probably. If they can bring them both back, then get ready for another fun postseason next year because they're really close. Now, theoretically, Robles would be better, and you are a reliever or two away from shoring up your bullpen and being a 94-win team or so on paper. That's great. If one leaves, if it's Strasburg, I think you're still probably a decent offseason away from being in that 90-win playoff mix. If Rendon left, I don't see you making the playoffs next year. I think you lose several wins, and I think you're a lot worse off. And if both leave, then we're going to be thinking about this World Series for a couple years while we watch some 500 or so baseball.
Yeah.
Open up the checkbook and keep Anthony Rendon. Let's go to Larry in La Plata on the Fan. What's up, Larry? How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you? I have a huge emotional investment in this team. And strange as it sounds, I have to look at it with my head rather than my heart. And it has to be Strasburg, because at the end of the day, we're not going to be able to keep Rendon. Strasburg will accept deferred money. I have no doubt about that. If Texas were not on the horizon with a new ballpark, it being his home state, I would opt for Rendon. But at this point, to save my heart from breaking, I would have to take Strasburg and certainly fill in the rest of the holes with the team.
He alluded to what he thinks the team is going to do before giving his opinion, too.
Right.
I think it's very likely that the team, goes Strasburg over Rendon.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Cheaper? More willingness to do it from Strasburg than Rendon?
Yeah.
And bottom line is, you don't have to break the bank. You're talking about 170 or 80 million, whatever it's going to take. I haven't really looked into the numbers on Strasburg that much, frankly. Versus 240 to 260 for Anthony Rendon, probably. And it just takes one team to give him an eighth year and get him up over the 270 mark. But do the quick math there. I think they'd much rather spend a little bit less on Stras. Chris Damascus, you're on the Fan. You get to bring one back. The starting pitcher who carried you throughout the playoffs, or the bat who had you on his shoulders all year long?
Strasburg as well. Everything's relative to the soft cap in baseball. And the percentage, see Mike Trout, see Machado, see Bryce Harper, see Albert Pujols, Denny.
This is correct.
So it really, it's all relative in a way. But no, Strasburg, but it's all relative to the soft cap, and Mike Rizzo, I trust.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate you, buddy. When you get to this level, though, Rizzo's, I think, this is the sense I have. You could tell me if you think I'm wrong. Rizzo's going to present, here are the options to the learners. Right? And this is one of those upper management ownership type decisions.
Yeah, so
we start talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. That's not one of those the GM's just going to go do.
His head a little bit. And it shouldn't be. But that's the way they do it here. And I'm sure in every organization, when you get to this level, ownership is heavily involved.
Right.
But I think the way this works, we've talked about this on the air, but just as a refresher course, is with Bryce Harper, he and his staff put together a packet of information. They present the learners and they say, listen, if we keep him, here's our way forward with our salary for Bryce and what our plan would be for the next couple of years monetarily. If we don't, here's our plan. And then they say, we're losing X amount of wins in win share per year. We can replace that this way. We'll go spend $140 million on Patrick Corbin. We'll go spend $10 million on the catcher position.
Right. Like, here's the math. Here's how it works out. If we lose X, let's say, for example, this number of wins, we need to replace it in this way. It's a different path. It's not one for one. We're not going to replace 319 with 34 homers and 126 RBIs. That doesn't exist on the marketplace.
No, you're going to spread it around to other positions.
Right.
But just know that the reason that all that math worked is because your outfield was still tremendous. And because you had Juan Soto waiting in the wings to be a star. Literally an all-star this year, but one of the biggest performers in the sport this season. He was awesome. You do not have that now. So they can point to how well things worked out post-Bryce Harper. This is different than that. Rendon's a more complete, I would say, all-around player than Bryce Harper, coming off of a better year than Bryce Harper was coming off of. He may not impact the lineup top to bottom as a presence like Bryce does, but it's not all that different, and his production, outside of just the batter's box, is way more helpful. So I don't think they can just do the same thing they did with Bryce and say, oh, we're fine, we'll do it in another. No. You're taking a huge step back if you lose Rendon. And we haven't even gotten into the ballpark, the fans. Two straight years, you're going there, you're watching, you're buying your jerseys, you're eating your chicken tender baskets, cheering for a guy, and he's gone. This would be unprecedented in sports, particularly in baseball, that two straight years in a major market,
you lose a superstar.
A guy of their caliber walks. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. In 10 minutes at 11 at the top of the hour, report yesterday, and we'll get into it in detail, Bill Callahan has roster control in a way that Jay Gruden didn't. I'm not really buying that, to be honest with you. It's not that I don't think the report's correct. J.P. Finley, NBC Sports Washington, had the report, and I'm sure he was told that. I don't know that I buy that Bill Callahan's running the show or that Jay Gruden didn't have a whole lot of say in what was going on, but we could talk about that in more detail in just a few. 800-636-1067. We're wrapping up the calls. You're picking one. Strasburger, Rendon, you only get to pay one of the two. On Twitter, I posted this poll.
You posted a poll on Twitter?
Can you fathom that?
Whoa.
First time I've ever done this.
Whoa.
Which Nats player should they have back? Would you rather have re-signed? Strasburg, Rendon. 57% are going with the third baseman. 43% with the right-hander. About 1,400 votes in. Let's go to Phil in Alexandria. Not that Phil. Don't you worry about a thing. Hey, Phil.
Phil.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Excellent. Hey, there's actually a different option. They just released Gomes. Gomes caught Corbin. It's time to trade Corbin, and that gives you money to re-sign both Rendon and Strasburg.
Okay, with all due respect, that's a terrible idea. Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate you. No would be what I would say to that.
What would you trade him for?
A lot, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of that. I'd have to get another starting pitcher back. Then if I'm doing that, then why don't I just keep Corbin?
Well, it's also a terrible idea. Corbin is the guy you're building the rotation around for the next several years. Now, it's not like he's a baby or a child. He's 30.
He's 30.
Only a year younger than Stras, but he has had way fewer arm issues and is way more durable over the course of his career. He's made 33 starts, three straight seasons now. He punched out almost 240 batters and pitched better at home at Nats Park than almost anybody in baseball did. He was also the toughest starting pitcher against lefties all year. So, no, I'm not trading him. I'm keeping him. And he's going to be the face of my organization from a pitching standpoint maybe in 2 or 3 years. Max has how many years left? Two?
Yeah.
Maybe, right?
I mean, and I think they're going to start being like they were just now.
I agree
right?
with you.
Don't you?
But my point is, in three seasons, who's your guy? Now, if you traded Corbin and you got two really good pitching prospects and a couple of young starters or something, cool.
That would be the rebuild version. That's if you lose everybody and you got to kind of start anew on the fly.
But he's doing the opposite.
Yeah,
he's trading
Corbin
so that he can re-sign a 31-year-old starting pitcher who's going to be 32 this summer. And he's trading Corbin so he can re-sign Anthony Rendon going into his 30s. As a bat. So no thank you on that. Let's go to Joe in Manassas. Hey, Joe, how are you?
What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I love the show as always. If I'm keeping one, man, I'm keeping Strasburg. I know it's hard, and I would want to keep both of them, don't get me wrong, but Strasburg pitching is what wins games, man. Pitchers are the key to winning and being a successful organization. I'm coming from an ex-pitcher. I mean, a little biased, but, I mean, they control the game, man. You're going to be in every game. You're going to have a chance to win every game if you have good, solid starting pitching. Rendon, I would love to have him. The way the ball is flying out of the park, you know, these days, 30 home runs, and I know we're not going to be able to get that type of production or anything close to it, but that being said, I want to have Strasburg, and I think we could replace him with, you know, a few other pieces. Rendon, I'm saying. So
appreciate
Thanks,
you.
I mean, that sounds like Mike Rizzo's philosophy, honestly. I mean, that's the idea.
Here would be what I would rebut that with. He said pitching wins games, and it does. So does scoring runs. I mean, it's not like one doesn't and the other does. But also, Anthony Rendon this year in 47 at-bats in what are considered late and close situations. So this means seventh inning or later within a run or so. Basically, this at-bat is critical to the outcome of the game. Hit 426. Got on base 53% of the time, slugged over 800, had a 1,300 OPS late and close. That won you a whole lot of ball games too. Believe me. Mark in Vienna, how are you?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, buddy?
Great show as always.
Thank you.
I'm like the rock, paper, scissors, you know. Paper beats rock, rock beats scissors, and scissors cuts paper, and good pitching beats good hitting. That's the maxim. So I got to go with Strauss, too. Plus the fact that I think they already, penciled him in for $25 million. So they're adding on, if they give him Scherzer money, maybe another, $5 million a year and extend the time. So it's not that big of a stretch for him.
That's a good point. I mean, you're basically working already from having banked on paying him a lot. So your point is they didn't have Rendon on the books for anything next year.
I see, yeah.
You're starting from scratch and you're paying him 33, let's say. So you're $33 million than you were planning on. Or Strasburg in this case, who you already said 25, now you're getting to 30 or a little bit more than that. I'm a little bit surprised by most of the calls saying Strasburg
me
for
too.
The record.
Give me gut feel, percentage chance. Strasburg back, Rendon back.
Strasburg back 60 to 65.
I'm even higher. I'm at 70%, 75 maybe.
Rendon back 20%.
Yeah, me too.
15 to 20.
Me too.
Something like that. Last one, Harrison, D.C., you're on the fan.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Hey, man.
You got it.
I would say that in order to be successful, you need three starting pitchers and then a stud at third in the lineup and at fourth in the lineup. And you move Corbin up to be the two. So you got Scherzer, Corbin, and then you can have someone between Sanchez or Sanchez-like, and then you keep Rendon. I feel like it's a no-brainer. Corbin's a number two pitcher. He's getting paid like a number two. Pay Rendon, whatever it takes. You need a stud three-hitter to be successful.
Appreciate you. Yeah, I like that argument, too, because, look, nobody's saying Strasburg doesn't deserve money. I think if he leaves, that, too, is a detriment.
Oh, it's devastating.
That's a massive blow, and it's going to be a crippler. But we're trying to compare which one hurts more, getting punched in the face or punched in the stomach, right? The point that Patrick Corbin's being paid like a number two is smart. It's true. You brought him in here and said, hey, dude, here's $140 million. Go be great. And he was. And it just so happened, pitching to the numbers of a number two starter, he was your third guy, and it's why you were so pitching rich this year. But if Scherzer works like a number one and is an ace again next season with Corbin, and Anibal repeats what he did, you've got a really good rotation. Are you going to have a really good 3-4-5 in your lineup?
No. And that's the thing. I just think in this era of, I know it sounds crazy to say, as the home runs are flying, but we're in an era of dominant pitching. Everybody's got stuff. You can cobble together. There's a million different ways to do it. Look at the Tampa Bay Rays. They got one starting pitcher, actually two this year, that are really, really good. Everybody else, it's bullpens. I mean, look at the Brewers. I mean, there are different ways to skin the cat. There are only so many ways to have a great middle of the lineup, right? They only make a few of those guys.
There are so many ways to give your coaches empowerment and allow them to do their jobs.
Right.
A couple different ways to do it is to not let them control the roster or to let them.
That's one way.
Report out there that Bill Callahan already has more influence on the roster than Jay Gruden had in 6 years. Wouldn't that be funny? G&D on the fan.
Guys, Danny Ruya here for my pals at the St. James. I love this place. You need to check it out. It is one of a kind. And there's no offseason at the St. James, the DMV's hottest destination for sports, wellness, and active entertainment. The St. James is a sports utopia. There's something for everyone. I want to stress that. Everyone. You think you're too busy. You've got kids. You don't have time. Whatever. Bring your kids. You got young kids, daycare facility right there on site. Older kids, they can hang out in the active entertainment center, right? Climbing and bouldering walls, trampolines, VR games, ropes course, and a massive water park. Perfect spot to host a birthday party, right? For you, how about the Premium Health Club? Offers top-of-the-line equipment and weights, dedicated personal trainers to help you achieve your body goals. Every new member, in fact, gets two complimentary health assessments with a personal trainer. Got a gourmet restaurant right there on site by friend of the show, Spike Mendelson. This is a wonderful, wonderful place. So much under one roof, you got to see it to believe it. Visit thestjames.com to learn more and schedule a tour. That's thestjames.com. The St. James, welcome to your best.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.